Okay, let us discuss some concepts relating to Akdamas. Perhaps we will spend time going through Akdamas line by line. There are some new svarim that have been published that have some very nice perushim, ideas, machshava, pshat. But let's now just discuss some general concepts. Okay, Akdamas, who is the Mechaber of Akdamas? It was the Mechaber, his name is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur. He lived in Worms, Varmiza, and it was composed approximately 1,000 years ago. Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur was one of the Rebbeim of Rashi. Rashi actually quotes Rabbeinu Meir Shliach Tzibur in his parish on Tehillim, and a few other. We have it over here in Hosea, in Tehillim, and in Amos. Okay, he's brought down Mesevish Shiboli Leket, and Taisus in Mesechta Rosh Hashanah also quotes this individual, Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur. He's also called Rabbi Meir the Tzir Ne'eman. Tzir means an agent. There's a long story as to how it came about. I didn't have a chance to go through the story in detail, but basically there was a city, there was a country, or some collection of Jews who tradition had it, they were from the Aseres Hashvatim, the long lost tribes, 10 lost tribes. And they lived on the other side of the Sambatyain River, this type of river which was extremely dangerous to cross. And there was a koimer, there was a priest who was a there was an enormous amount of black magic, kishuf, that was very rampant at that time in history, and these koimerim were making enormous trouble for Klal Yisrael. And it says there that there's a koimer who was a baki in magic, and he would just touch with his finger on the forehead of a Jew, and the Jew suddenly would not feel well. He went home, he lied down, and shortly after was nifter. And this koimer, he killed 663 Jews. Why the number 663, I'm not sure. And the Jews, then they got together, went to the king, and they complained, it's not fair. And the king said, I'm also afraid of this koimer, I don't know what to do. So they brought the koimer, and the koimer said, I'll tell you what, let's have a debate. I want to have a debate with the Jews to prove whose religion is correct. And if I lose, then I'll stop making trouble for them. But if I win, then they're all going to have to suffer. And at that point in time, it says there that he put his finger on another three Jews, which brought to a total of 666. If I'm not mistaken, among the Goyim, it's taboo, the number 666, right? Among the Goyim, it's the devil. There was actually a story recently in the news where a woman, a religious Christian, she got a license plate from the DMV, and on the license plate it had the number 666. And she freaked out. She freaked out and she made a whole case that you can't give me the number 666. It's superstitious. Whatever it was. But no, it's interesting that in Klal Yisrael, this number in this story, I just find it fascinating because it appears that among Klal Yisrael, the number 666 is a very holy number. Because the ultimate bracha in the Torah is the brachas v'yitin l'cha elokim ital ha-shamayim. Where does the 10 brachas of v'yitin l'cha appear? In the 6th parsha. In which aliyah? In the 6th aliyah. And what letter does the aliyah begin with? The bracha begin with? V. So that's 666. 666 is bigamatria, ne'ah sh'orim. And that is the term that Chazal used to describe the success of Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu, he planted and he found in the field Ne'ah Sha'arim. So it appears to make sense why it's the devil for the Goyim, because whatever is a bracha for Klal Yisrael is a klala for the Umos Ha'olam. So for Klal Yisrael, when Yitzchak found 666 Ne'ah Sha'arim, it's the ultimate bracha, 666, Ne'ah Sha'arim. So in Mele, we can understand why by the Goyim, the number 666 is a harmful number. Okay, but I'm just pointing out because in the story it says that he killed originally 663, and then he killed another three Jews to bring it to a total of 666. And he was the devil. He was Mamish, the devil. So long story, to make a long story short, maybe we'll do another time if I can have time to figure out the story. There was a debate, and in the debate, the Jews of this city city on the other side of Sambatya, and from the Aseres HaShvatim, they did not have a person that could represent them. So they sent a desperate SOS to the city of Varmiza. Varmiza was a very holy city, one of the holy cities in Klal Yisrael. And they sent a Meir Shliach Tzibur. He was going to go to be their representative. And in fact, I think he had a Mechal Shabbos. He had a request over the Sambatya on Shabbos, travel outside the Tchum in order to save them. But it would mean that if he goes over the river, he would not be able to come back, because he only can go there to Mekuch Nefesh, but he couldn't go back. What's going to be with his children? What's going to be with his wife and his children to be in Aguna? Whatever the story was, he went, and there was a debate, and the debate involved things that happened. L'malo miderech hateva, he succeeded. The Koimer was killed, and Klal Yisrael, this group of people on the other side of Sambatya, and I don't know if we know what happened to them. I don't know if we know even where it is. It sounds all very mystical.
The other way, the way I heard it, that the Meir Shliach Tzibur was sent over the Sambatian to bring someone from there to bring against.
So where was the Meir originally from?
From Worms.
He went right.
He went to bring someone from
the other side of Sabbatyon to be a representative. Have we done? I don't know. Whatever it is, but it was a debate, and they won the debate, and the debate was to happen.
He was able to counteract the Koyach.
Okay, whatever it was, there was some miraculous unfolding of events.
The guy blew up.
And a Meir Shliach Tzibur, as a way, all of this thing's a little bit over our heads, what happened in this story. After the part of this, there was a Sakona, there was a Tzara, there was a Yeshua, and as a Shevach V'Hoidah to the Ribbono Shel Olam for bringing about this salvation, Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur composed the Agdamos to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this event took place in the Tkuf of Shavuos, so he sent out a message, everyone should sing this on Shavuos as a way of giving Shevach V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving us from this very great Tzara. And it took off, everyone accepted it, and it became very popular, and here we are 1,000 years later, cannot everyone in Klal Yisrael says this, except for Sfaradim as well, they do, except for Chabad, Chilukei Deos, Chukilim and Hagim, some do, some don't. It seems that they primarily would...
Sfaradim does say.
Yes, it says okay, they do say it. The only difference is they say before this. Do they say it after they make the bracha? But everyone says it. That's what it says here in Paris Lies. Everyone says it. They accepted it. It was sent throughout the entire. It spread through the entire Klal Yisrael. Varmiz is Ashkenaz. Obviously, Varmiz is from the main Ashkenaz of Ashkenaz, but this peel was sent to the entire Klal Yisrael, to everyone, to Mishtatev, giving Shevach Vaidot to Hashem for the Nes, and they accepted it. But the only place where they does not done Chabad today does not do it. They do not do it. And also in Worms, the place where it originated, it was stopped. Now, no one knows why here in the Pardes Eliezer, brings down from various sources that the reason why the Olam says it stopped is because there was a year, the thing that originated in Varmiza, it was a very big avoida, and they put up a very choshuva shliach tzibur to recite Agdamos, and one year he recited Agdamos with such hislavos and such intense kavana. Immediately after he finished saying Agdamos, he had a heart attack and he died. So they viewed it as a sakana that here in Varmiza, where it originated, that we should let someone sing it, because you might get so swept away in singing it, it can lead to the sakana. So in Varmiza, they stopped reciting Akdamis on Shavuos. Pardes Eliezer, he brings down this story, and he brings down a source that says that's not true. That's what the Olam says, the Baba Maisa. The reason why they stopped saying it, no one knows. There is a reason, and it was forgotten from us why they stopped in Varmiza. Okay. Now, let's discuss some of the issues. Why is it so important to recite Agdamos? So first of all, we mentioned this beautiful idea that it represents the concept of Netilas Rishus. Avlo Shokilna Harmon Rishusa Netilas Rishus Derech Eretz Kodmo L'Torah. We make that statement by reciting Agdamos before we makabel the Torah. There should be an inyan reminding the Olam Midos Tovos Derech Eretz Kodmo L'Torah, like the Malachim V'Noistim Rishus Zeh L'Zeh. Okay, the next issue. We have a beautiful nigun. This nigun also was composed by Rabbi Meir Shliach Tzibur. I saw here one of the Akdamah to this sefer, Dorish Tov, he says something is shocking. He says that half the nigun is forgotten from us. If you notice, we only sing the low part. We just repeat the nigun over and over again. It says here, that's not the way it originally was. There's a high part to Akdamas. No one knows what it is. Somehow, some way, over the Cheshkas Hagolos, the high part is supposed to be more beautiful than the low part. But we're not zoiche to it anymore. It was taken from us, and we just sing this nigun. We just sing the low part. We also sing it on Shavuos. I mean, on the Rishos, the nigun to sing the Rishos on Simchas Torah.
It's a little different. No,
same thing.
I say both.
Okay, fine. We'll go through a couple of ideas. Okay, so this is a nigun. There's a low part. The high part is missing. We also use it throughout the year for different events. Specifically, we use it on Simchas Torah. Okay, now, when do
there
you...
There are similarities between the two, but they're not...
Okay, fine. Now, there are... Now, next issue. When do you say... This is the big machlokes ha'poskim. When do you begin to say the Akdamas? Do you say the Akdamas before the Kohen makes the bracha? Or do you say the Akdamas after you read the first pasuk? So this touches upon another reason why we recite Akdamas. First of all, why is it written in Aramaic? Why isn't Akdamas written in Lashon Kodesh? So some want to say that the piyut is so mystical, it's so beautiful, it's a sakana to recite this piyut, the malachim would be jealous. And any time we don't want to start up and interfere with the malachim, it has to be done in Aramaic. And that's why Kaddish in Aramaic, and Akdamas in Aramaic, and there are many things in our liturgy that in Aramaic, in order not to interfere, not to chepa, not to start up with the malachim.
Yeah, Ria Kodesh also wrote most of this
in Aramaic, because in the Yoni Kabbalah, you don't want to let the malachim interfere. That's one reason. Another reason is because this is a throwback. It's our only zecher for what was called the Meturgamon. We all know that in ancient times, during Kriya Satara, you lay in a pasuk, and after you lay in a pasuk, immediately the Baal Koyrei or someone else would be mitargim the pasuk b'shas Kriya Satara. You lay in the pasuk, and the mitargim translates the pasuk. And this was done b'shas Kriya Satara. The only ones that still do this at Hayom HaZeh are the Yemenites. The Yemenites still have this tradition. They have one of the old traditions. Okay, there aren't almost any Jews living in Yemen anymore. Maybe there are a handful, but those who have come to Eretz Yisrael over the last 70 years, there are many groups of Yemenite Jews which continue doing this ad hayom hazeh. But this was universal. It stopped way back during the time of the Goyim, already stopped translating because people did not any longer practice speaking in Aramaic. However, we at least once a year preserve the tradition of Targum. We read the first part and we translate the first pasuk. Now it appears from what's written that the professional miturgamim had a right to embellish the targum. They did not just translate the pasuk targum unkelis. At times they would give drushas. They would embellish the translation of the pasuk with midrashim, with other mamari chazal. And here that's really what Akdamas is. Akdamas, the very end of Akdamas, is a translation of the first pasuk bayom hazeh bohu midbar Sinai, and it translates that section of the pasuk in the end of the Akdamas, but the most of it is a very great embellishment of Akdamas. So therefore it would make a lot of sense why you were to recite Akdamas after the first pasuk, because it is a throwback to the ancient custom over 1,000 years ago, where you read a pasuk and you translate the pasuk. It's a targum, and we translate it, and not only do we translate it, we also embellish it. However, some say that since Rizvanah said we don't do this, it should appear that it's a hefsek. You're laying a pasuk, and now you're being mafsik. So that's why it became very common among the Ashkenazim not to translate it, but rather to recite it before we read Akdamas. Now, so something very, this is very fascinating to me, and a very beautiful hesber of a lomdisha or a machshava in Yoni Machshava on the machlekes between the different opinions. Should you say Akdamas before the first pasuk, or should we say Akdamas before we begin to lane? The Mali Machshava tell us that Matan Torah took place against the backdrop of two different locations. Number one, the Midbar, and number two, the Har. Okay, look at the beginning of the Kriya Sata B'Chodesh Hashlishi B'Tzeis Shom B'Yeretz B'Tzayim B'Yom HaZeh. On that day, Bohu Midbar Sinai. Numerous Mamori Chazal tell us the significance of being Makabal the Torah in the desert. Torah is not for the elite. It's not for members only. It's not a club. Torah is for everyone. Just like the Midbar is Hefker, Torah is Hefker, whoever wants to come take it. So there's a din that Kabbalah's HaTorah needs to take place in the Midbar. And then there's a din that Kabbalah's HaTorah took place on a mountain. The next pasuk, Vayisu Me'rifidim, Vayovohu they came to Midbar Sinai, Vayachnu Bamidbar, Vayichan Shom Yisrael, Neged Hahar. Tzvei dinim. Okay, there's a beautiful machshav, a beautiful drush on this topic. Kabbalah's HaTorah took place against the backdrop mitzarecha midin midbar. There's Torah, Kabbalah's HaTorah in the midbar, and there's Kabbalah's HaTorah on the har. What does this mean? Not for now. Many mahalchim. But there's a Torah for the hamoinam, midbar. It's for the har. And then there's specialties. There's a Torah for the yechidim. There's Torah for the masses, and then there are Bali Madrega, people of exalted spiritual status. Their Torah is begeder tzimtzum on a high location, a special mokai. What is Akdamas? Akdamas is the hachona for Kabbalah Satorah. What is the focus? Is the focus the hachona for the Kabbalah Satorah midin the midbar, or is the hachona for Kabbalah Satorah hachona for the har? That's the machlokes. Those that read Akdamas before the Kohen makes the first bracha hold that the purpose of Kabbalah Satorah, Akdamas is a hachana for the midbar. So the Akdamas is a hachana before you read the first pasuk. The first pasuk is B'chodesh Hashlishi Yitzeis V'Shabayim Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. Those that have the custom of making the bracha and reciting the first pasuk, and now they recite Akdamas. Why are you reciting Akdamas now? Because you want to recite Akdamas before you come to the second pasuk, where we focus on the har. The first pasuk of Kriyas HaTorah is the midbar. The second pasuk of Kriyas HaTorah is the har. Akdamos is the hachana, is the hakdama. Well, what is it a hakdama to? Is it a hakdama to the Kabbalah Satorah midin midbar? Or is it a hakdama to the Kabbalah Satorah midin har? Midin midbar is a more of a lower madrega, and midin har is a higher madrega. What is the ikar focus? So that's the machlokes. What is the function of Akdamas? When you figure out what the function of Akdamas is, now you'll know where to put it. It's a very interesting, different raya, a whole new machshava of why where you are to put Akdamas. Okay, one last thing, and we'll stop. One last thing is why already once already doing Akdamas hefsek, why don't if you. This goes back to a regular pshat that it's targum. Why after the first pasuk? Why not at least lane three psukim? So the first thing said, if you, once you lane the three psukim, you have a chiyuv to make the bracha acharoina. If you're going to say Akdamas in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah, the ideal place to make the say Akdamas after the first bracha, after the first pasuk. In other words, for example, when you make a bracha on food, shakol niya bidvaro, are you allowed to be mafsik between the bracha and the achila? Absolutely not. Once you put some food in your mouth, can I speak? Can I be mafsik? Yes, of course. Now I want to eat more food. How am I allowed to eat more food? There's a hefsik between the second food that I ate and the bracha. The answer is once the bracha was already chal upon the first piece of food, you're allowed to have a hefsek. It's the same with Kriyas HaTorah. You make the bracha. Asher bocha amonu mikol ha'amim. V'nos lanu es Torah, sabrach at Hashem nesin ha'Torah. And that will be mafsek. Okay, so read one pasuk. Once you've read one pasuk, the bracha was chal. Now you can take a break. You can take a break. You can go to sleep. And in fact, what's the proof to this? In ancient times, how many brachas did they make for Kriyas HaTorah? One at the beginning, one at the end. And what do they do in the middle? Yamoit, so-and-so, Mishaberach. They were mafsik. People milled about. How? What about the bracha? There's a hefsik of the bracha. You made Asher Bochar Banu. You're not going to make the bracha according until the very, very end. How are you allowed to have seven breaks in the middle? Hafsokos. Teretz is like eating food. When you make a bracha on food, you have to eat right away, and then you're allowed to be mafsik. You can do whatever you want. Then you can go back and eat more food later on. It's the same thing. Once I make the bracha asher bocha banu mikol ha'amim, now I need to read one pasuk of Torah. Once I read one pasuk of Torah, the bracha was chal on that one pasuk. I can take a break and I can do whatever I want. So it's not considered a hafsik when I start reading akdamas, and then when I resume reading the pasuk. So you'll ask the question, why don't we read the entire aliyah? Let's read at least three pasukim, or read the entire aliyah, and then recite the akdamas. No, because then there's going to be a hefsek between the end of the kriya and the bracha acharoina. Once you learn three psukim, it's already chal upon you to make a bracha acharoina according to our custom. And you don't want to be mafsek. So the ideal, but if you only win one pasuk, you don't have a chiv to make a bracha acharoina yet. Because the bracha acharoina is only chal after you learn three brachas. So the mail of the ideal three psukim. So the ideal place to make, do that, if you're going to anyway do the akdamas in the middle of the kriya satorah, the ideal place would be after you lay in one pasuk before you lay in two psukim. Everyone says, only for, I don't know what it says, this says the parents of Eliezer. However, halacha lemaisa, ruba de ruba, probably 90% of Klal Yisrael, the custom is to say akdamas before the kohen makes the bracha. If you're not mafsik, you call them up, you find the place, you make sure everything is in place, and then you make the bracha, like according to the beautiful lamas that we said, because the akdamas, according to our hak opinion, is a hakdama to the midbar, the Kabbalah satar in the midbar, not like the old meaning where it was a Kabbalah satar to the har. Some want to say the skadnu hadaris. If you study history, it appears that in ancient times, it was much more common, and that's ancient, I mean like a couple of hundred years ago, it was much more common to say akdamas in the middle. That's what appears to have been much more common. We do it today before the bracha. That's the common minhag. 90%. There are certain groups of a chassid that still do it in the middle. 90% of Klal Yisrael does it before you make the bracha. But if you study all of the old shuvas, all of the old minhagim, it appears that it was very common to do it, much more common to do it in the middle of the Kriya Satorah, after the bracha. You make the bracha, you lay in one pasuk. So someone wants to say that's because Niskatnu Hadayris, like going back to that drush. In the previous generations, they were much higher Madrega. Torah was Begeder, they focused on the Har, the Makabal on the Har, Moshe Ola Elulukim on the Har. The male to higher Madrega, Yuzoicha, you could do it. But Bizman Hazeh, we're not on that Madrega anymore. We're Niskatnu Hadayris, so we only look at Torah for the masses. For the masses, when Torah is Kabbalah, sir, in the midbar. The midbar, so the hachana to the midbar is before the first pasuk. Mainly, you say akdamas before you make the bracha, and you even lay in the first pasuk.
Can you trace how when that changed?
When that changed, probably like 200-300 years ago. That's it. 200-300 years ago. So the time of Shulchan Aruch is when it changed. The Taz really changed it. The Taz came along and says, doesn't make sense what you're doing, laying in the middle, and everyone followed the Taz and they stopped doing it. The Taz changed it. So it appeared that, what was the Taz? 200-300 years ago? So that's really when it seems to have changed, shifted. And okay, so Yeshvish, there are still Hasidim, there are certain Hasidish groups that still do it. Also, very big question, who reads the Akdamas? Very big Nafkamin, who reads the Akdamas? So if you lay in the Akdamas in the middle of Kriya Satorah, like the old Minug, then the Baal Kori should not be the one. The common custom is the Baal Kori is not the one who lays the Akdamas. It's the Meturgam one, it's the Rav, or someone else. But today, since most of us, we say Akdamas before you make the Bracha, then the common custom is the Baal Kori is the one that reads that. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be about Kari. Anyone can do the Akdamas. In fact, probably in some shuls, you have a person with a beautiful voice, a Rav, a Rav, he can do the Akdamas. I mean, today, it came with a little minute that the Baal Kari does. You want to start with the Baal Kari, never start with the Baal Kari, so, so that appears to be the common. Oh, yeah, he takas?
Every year.
He did. He hear that? Ben Sion Shanker, he did the Akdamas, not the Baal Kari.
Different
tune
or the same?
No, you don't mess with the tune. You don't mess with the tune.
No, that tune is...
You don't mess with that tune. Okay, stop. We'll do continue tomorrow.